Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of these assembled hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Last year, I made a discovery when preparing a sermon for the gospel lesson. Perhaps you remember how that went. You see, prior to last year, I always engaged in the fights that are found on whatever media pages and text message groups there happened to be about whether or not John doubted while he was in prison. It's kind of a fun thing to engage in, right? I mean, when you read the words there, it certainly seems like he's not 100% sure whether or not Jesus is the coming one. And so he asks the question. But then from the other side, that seems a little bit unreasonable because even from the womb, John recognized who Jesus was and leapt when he was in his presence. He saw him when he was out baptizing in the wilderness and hollered out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Who's right? Who's wrong? Who cares? It's not the point of the text. Jesus doesn't go on and on and on and on about, well, maybe John did doubt. I don't know if he's really doubting. Is he? Maybe it's just not what Jesus does. We begin with doubt, no matter who it is, whether it's John, whether it's his disciples, whether it's the crowds that are gathered, there's doubt. And Jesus responds to it by pointing to his miracles. Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. This is the point. We have doubts, and God has given us these wonderful signs to show and prove to us that he is, in fact, the long-promised Messiah, the one first promised to our parents in the garden in Genesis 3:15, and each generation thereafter until he came 2,000 years ago. I want to make sure that you're not hearing me say that you should look for weird signs and miracles in your life. This is not the same sermon you'll hear at a Pentecostal church when they say, well, if you just pray hard enough, your amputated leg will grow back. Oh, it didn't grow back. You probably don't have enough faith. You didn't pray hard enough. We're not talking about the signs of what we see every day that are truly miracles, like the earth spinning on its axis in a perfect rotation or revolving around the sun in such a way to give us times and seasons. Things like these do happen, and that's absolutely wonderful. I'm not trying to deny them. But this is a different sermon. The signs that Jesus points to are a certain kind. A kind that cannot be reproduced by man, and a kind that goes against everything that we know about in nature. No man can create something out of nothing. No man can change the very essence and nature of a thing into something else. Only God can do this. And he certainly has done it throughout history. He has sent his word out through prophets, and he accompanied them with various signs. And so it is that we see Moses sent to Pharaoh, changing water into blood. We see Elijah raining down fire upon the enemies of God. We see Elisha afflicting Gehazi with leprosy. We could go on and on and on. You see, our Lord doesn't want us to guess as to which prophets are true, are sent by him, and which are not. And so he has proved his prophets by giving them various signs. So it is that Peter was able to do all kinds of miraculous things when he was sent out. So it is that Elijah proved to God's people that Baal was a false god by showing them that Baal could perform no mighty work, and also mocking him. Perhaps your God is off in the toilet, relieving himself. And so it is that we do the same. We know that Joseph Smith is a liar. He had no accompanying signs. He had no miracles. He had no eyewitness claims being passed down from generation to generation. And so it is that we mock him like Elijah did. For he must have been sitting in the toilet when the angel Moron came to visit him. Do you see what I mean? Not only are the miracles that Jesus points to in our text contrary to nature, but these miracles are exactly what gives us the theme printed on the front of your bulletin for Gaudete Sunday. The Lord has come as long promised. I'd like to say that the secretary messed up with the Old Testament lesson, but I've now read it 3 times and I didn't mess up at all. It's a wonderful lesson that should definitely be associated with our gospel, that's for sure. But it's impossible to ignore 5 chapters earlier as well. In Isaiah 35, Isaiah writes, "Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you." Listen to this. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." If you didn't notice, this is exactly what our Lord quoted in response to the question from John. "Go and tell John that the eyes of the blind have been opened, that their ears have been unstopped, that the dead have risen, that the poor have the gospel preached to them." He is, in fact, the coming one, promised long before, and especially here in Isaiah 35, one promised, and the promise was passed on through all the law and the prophets. Take note of the miracles that accompany him as well. He did not come to bring judgment and condemnation, but instead his signs show that his purpose was to save. So you have Moses, as we brought up, turning water into blood. But you have Christ turning water into wine. Elijah calls down fire upon the enemies of God. But when Jesus was on this earth, his disciples said, "Lord, give us the power to rain down fire upon your enemies." And Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Luke chapter 9. Whereas Elisha afflicted this Gehazi with leprosy because of his unfaithfulness, Christ removed this same affliction from the man who begged him to be made clean in Matthew chapter 8. There's no doubt about it. This Jesus is the coming one. And this Jesus came for the salvation of man. And this is actually his greatest miracle, in fact. It is most certainly true that this Jesus is the Christ, the long-promised Messiah, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 35, for he literally made a blind man to see in John 9. He literally made a deaf and mute man to hear and speak plainly in Mark chapter 7. He literally made a lame man to walk, John chapter 5. These miracles being so great that it was even said of him in John 9, "Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Yet even these were not the greatest of miracles since the world began. These were instead signs of the result of what he would do in the greatest miracle. For he who proved that he was able to remove sin from the body would in fact remove sin from all of the world. And this he did by taking it all into himself and paying the price for it with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Think of it. If no one else in all the history of the world could make the blind to see, certainly no one in all the history of the world could atone for sins. But Christ has done both. And this we know to be true because of the great miracle of the resurrection, which we celebrate each Easter. He has truly defeated sin, death, and the devil. This, dear friends, is what we are to remember when we look to the miracles of Christ. And this is what we are to look to whenever we are presented with doubt, whether it's doubt from within or doubt from without. We are like grass. We wither. Like the flowers, we fade, we come and we go, the winds of what people say is and isn't true. But the Word of God endures forever. One of my favorite miracles to discuss when having this conversation is the one that plagued our church body so many years ago. It created a great division. Elijah was allowed to make the axe head float on the water to prove that he was a prophet of God. From our very own pews, we had those who said, no, he didn't. He can't. It's impossible to make axe heads float on the water. That goes against nature. It cannot be done. Here we are, dear friends, 60 years later, 70 years later, whatever it is. Those same people who said that are now ordaining lesbian bull dykes into the pulpit to preach the Word of God, telling people that they can do whatever they want, cut off parts of their body to change their gender. And they're telling us that we're bigots and haters and not Christians, and that we hate Jesus because we stand on the Word of God that endures forever. These things are important. Christ gave us these miracles, and they most certainly have happened. Once you start doubting whether or not the axe had floated on the water, it actually shouldn't be your biggest concern whether or not you'll believe that he created the male or female. It should be, how would you ever believe that Christ rose from the dead? If Christ is unable to heal those who are sick with various diseases and illnesses, he's unable to raise a little boy from the dead, how could he raise himself? You see what I mean? This, dear friends, is your salvation. There is no word of God that you can deny and it not lead to the greatest denial of your entire life, which is the fact that Christ took all of your sins into his flesh, bore them upon the cross, paid the price for them with his blood, was killed even for you, and then rose again from the dead, showing us all that he has been victorious over life, over death and sin and the devil. And guess what? He has promised you one more miracle. Actually, several more, but one in particular that I want to talk about. That is that you too will be raised from the dead. Not about whether you pray hard enough or you have enough faith that your amputated leg will grow back. It's the fact that Christ has already removed sin from you. He has promised you the resurrection of your body. That you too will be glorified in the end and be brought to the glories of the new heaven and the new earth. If you cannot believe that God can make an axe head float on the water, do you really believe he could do that for you? I hope you see the absurdity of these things. Are you the one who is to come or not? Look, the blind see, the deaf hear, lame walk, and the dead are raised. These things are recorded, dear friends, into scriptures that you would know that they are true. Do not let those, even from the church, try and steal it from you. Do not let the world try and steal it from you. What do you think all this talk of evolution is? But denying the great miracle that there is a creator who used nothing but the word to create all that you see and have. Don't let them take any of it from you. It is yours. And if you let them take even one, then you will let them take Christ. The word of God endures forever, and in it you will find your promises. You will find what is good and right and true. You will find that you yourself are saved, that you belong to him, and that he will, in the end, wipe every tear from your eyes as he brings you into paradise. Does the Lord say about this, these things that are more recorded than any lie that they try and teach your children in history class? Think about that maybe before I finish that last sentence. The Jews have recorded in their Talmud what? Every single one of these same miracles. Muhammad has recorded in his Quran what? Every single one of these same miracles that Jesus did while he walked on this earth. These things are more recorded, more historically accurate than what most of the things that are taught to your children as history are in our schools. This is a fact. Even the enemies of God cannot deny these truths. And so it is that we look to them as St. John taught us to do, which is what I was going to say in a minute, or a minute ago, in John chapter 20. He writes, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." God grant it to each of you that you would see these signs, that you would see these promises of the signs to come, that you would cling to them all the days of your life, standing against the world and letting the rest of it fade away like grass and withering. It does not matter. These signs will endure, and so will you into eternity because of Christ. God grant it to each of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.